This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Rhett.
And I'm Link.
And we're the hosts of the podcast Ear Biscuits. We're just two lifelong friends who've been talking about life for a long time.
From being dads to businessmen to all the random things we experience, nothing is off limits.
And now we're talking to you. We're answering your questions, giving advice that you may or may not want to take, and listening to your hilarious stories.
So leave us a voicemail to be part of the show at
1-888-EARPOD1 on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
The autumn wind is a pirate, blustering in from sea. With a rollicking song he sweeps along, swaggering boisterously. His face is weather-beaten. He wears a hooded sash with a silver hat about his head and a bristling black mustache. He growls as he storms the country, a villain big and bold. And the trees all shake and quiver and quake as he robs them of their gold. The autumn wind is a raider, pillaging just for fun. He'll knock you round and upside down and laugh when he's conquered and won.
The greatest walk-up song we've had on the score. And it belongs to my next guest. Joining me on the guest hotline, presented by Circus Sports Illinois, is Mark Gonzalez. Gonzo, how are you?
I feel so much better for that introduction.
Yeah. He is. I need to explain all this to Robbie. Like, that's a walk-up song, and he was sort of like, oh? I said, yeah, because Gonzo's a Raider fan. And that's the NFL film special, and that's the voice of God reciting that poem, The Autumn Wind is a Pirate. And I said, that's what we're going to do. Gonzo was our deluxe baseball guest. So I need to now explain. Have you explained to the class the whole deluxe part? Because once you dropped that on us, me and Grody couldn't stop using it, so now explain it to Robbie, my Gleek producer.
I'm dating myself, but in 1999, during the trade deadline, I was covering the Giants, and they held on to a young pitcher named Joe Nathan, and Brian Sabian, in defense of Nathan, said, this guy could be our Kerry Wood. He could be Deluxe. And ding, 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 yeah. The bell went off.
Yeah, Deluxe.
So, there you have it.
So Deluxe. The walk-up music certainly should be familiar. The name Mark Gonzalez certainly should be familiar. If you're a Chicago baseball fan, because he wrote baseball for several decades in this town, and he would usually be a guest around this time on this show, he would be our deluxe Hall of Fame voting. He would give you his ballot. He'd tell you who he voted for, who he didn't, and why. And I thought, well, just because Gonzo has left the Tribune, he's out in Arizona much warmer than us, working for Grand Canyon GCU, right?
Yes.
And
17-1 basketball team.
There you go. That's it. We'll get to your college honkness in a minute. But I was surprised to find out you said you gave your ballot back. You didn't return it blank. You gave it back or gave it up and your reasons for it. So share with the class.
Well, to get this card or this ballot is special. You have to be an active member for 10 years and more importantly, show up to the games. And in recent years, and I want to stress recent because there might be some people out there who have ballots that might think I'm attacking them. I'm not. That's why info is recent. It's just the qualifications have been laxed. And you see people who are like, I need a card. Well, are you going to go to games? and you don't see them at games. And then 10 years later, they're bragging about their card and they continue not to go to games. But the card is designed to get you into the games and cover the games, more importantly. And it took me 10 years to get a card. I'd been a part-time writer at two other places, and rightfully so, I did not get a card until I was a full-time baseball writer. And that ballot, to me, is an honor, but it's also a responsibility. And I think it's important to attend games, watch, trust your eyes, but also talk to players who are competing against these guys who are potential Hall of Famers. And I just think that it's going to become more diluted. And then on top of that, the committee, membership committee, has allowed this. And I'm not speaking locally because I think the pride of Kerry Grove, Megan Montanaro, who's the chapter chairman for the Chicago chapter, does a terrific job, and she screens everything very thoroughly. I mean, she checked on my background when I was freelancing my last few years in Chicago to make sure I was official and covering enough games. So tip my cap to her. But on a higher level, it's just almost as if they're giving it out like they're Halloween candy.
Have the number of voters ballooned, not necessarily the number of people showing up to games? Has the number of card-holding BBWAA members ballooned?
I haven't even paid attention to that. I just noticed that there's more people think they're deserving of cards, you know, recently, and they don't make the effort to go to games on a regular basis like it's required.
Did you voice this to members of the membership committee?
I did. I did to Megan, and Megan was aware of it, and she took it to a higher authority, and obviously the majority of that committee did not listen. So
why?
I felt at that time I'm done. You know, and I don't want to penalize any of the candidates. Therefore, I just said, don't send me a ballot.
And for those who don't know how the voting works, you need to get 75% of all the ballots. Somebody sends in a blank ballot, hurts candidates people you might have voted for in the past, if you were or want to keep on the ballot for one reason or another. So you did the right thing by not accepting a ballot, so you didn't hurt the percentages for candidates, for people to get into the Hall of Fame. But this was, why would they do this? Do they need dues? Do you pay dues that the group needs? Why would the membership committee be far more lax about who qualifies than previously?
You'd have to talk to them. I have my reasons, and
okay.
They're just my reasons.
I'm listening. Why?
You'd have to talk to them. You know, they're just setting their ways, and I'll leave it at that.
The idea of there are reasons to have great joy in this. We've seen that. There seems to be a phone call a year that makes you smile if you're a longtime baseball fan. Somebody got in, and it's wonderful that way when you see that's how it happened. But it was certainly, I know when I was, I did time on a baseball beat, not enough to qualify for a card, nor did I make a commitment that it was going to be for 10 years and show up at a whole bunch of games and do that every year. And I was not going, I didn't think I was worthy of that, nor did I want the responsibility of voting. I had that in hockey when I was on the beat, and I don't want to get, I thought it was really bad form, a conflict, to vote on guys for MVP or not, and maybe mean money in their pocket or not, and then need to report on them or need their access for something. And I thought, I saw the Hall of Fame voting by the baseball writers as a conflict. You covered these guys. You may have had a good experience, a bad experience. The appearance of conflict is as bad as a conflict. You know, a lot of writers held firm to the idea of, I know what I know. I know whether I'm watching a Hall of Famer or not. I do my research no matter how they've treated me. How did you deal with this, or how do you deal with the argument that it appears to be a conflict of interest from the start?
From the award standpoint or from the Hall of Fame standpoint?
You know, both would be the same. In my word, the same.
Not really, because the Hall of Famers, you're not covering them anymore. They have to be retired for 5 years before they're eligible, provided that they've played 10 years in the majors. The awards, I can see your point, especially when it comes to incentives, but I've always tried to be as objective as possible, not look at the incentives unless I'm covering that player on my specific team and that I'm covering as it relates to incentives and the payroll and all that.
Mark Gonzalez is my guest. We would be talking about people who should be going into the Hall of Fame, whether it's Joe Mauer or Todd Helton, but we're talking about the seems like a bloated BBWAA voting members who may or may not show up to games, which seemed to be their original responsibility. And by the way, if you're a Chicago baseball fan and you're looking at, well, the South Side, they got a chairman who just doesn't, he's forcing Tony La Russa down your throat. He's laughing at you if you think you're going to bid on Ohtani, that he's small market mentality. And if you look at the North Side, you go, well, why aren't they spending money like a big market team? Why don't they get out there and nobody's winning? And the reason nobody's winning, Robbie Triano, my Gleek producer, is because Mark Gonzalez is not covering one team or the other. The only way a World Series has been won in this town on both sides of town is because Mark Gonzalez was on the beat. True fact, right, Gonzo?
I had nothing to do with those championships. I know there's some that have that, you know, tweet photos of themselves as a trophy. That's not me. I didn't hit a home run or pitch a shutout, so I'll leave it at that.
Well, he was on the beat for the White Sox in 2005. He never stopped believing because he had to keep writing. And he was on the beat in 2016 when the Cubs became the Cubs. I want to ask about 2005. I don't know why it came up, but it did. The sound, oh, I know why it came up, because January 19th was the anniversary of the greatest hockey anthem ever. And it was in the stadium. It was for the All-Star Game, Wayne Messmer in the stadium, the 1991 All-Star Game, just days after Operation Desert Storm started. And being in that stadium was, even if you grab somebody next to you, they couldn't hear you. And I started thinking of moments like that, where it was such a building-shaking thing. What would you compare? What at what level? What other comparisons are there to the Konerko home run, the Konerko Grand Slam? You were in the building that night. What do you think?
That was rocking. I also think on the other side, the Montero home run to beat the Dodgers, you know, the press box was shaking there. I think those two moments really stand out. The Konerko homer was, it was, the noise was deafening. And the Montero homer, you know, when you feel the press box shaking and thinking about how old Wrigley is, you start thinking, okay, this is fun for the fans, but am I going to be able to cover the rest of the game?
Yeah, and where are the rats going to go? So the other thing that people don't know about Mark Gonzalez, Gonzo, my guest, former Chicago Tribune baseball writer, is that he is quite the college honk. You heard him mention Grand Canyon University and their basketball 17-1 record, but most notably USC. Perhaps that rings a bell with Bears fans who are listening. So from what you saw in the Big Ten this year and that quarterback, Caleb Williams, who might be the Bears quarterback, and that coach, Riley Lincoln, and now the name Cliff Kingsbury comes up. What do you think about all this?
My mind is spinning for many reasons, because Kingsbury was supposed to be the offensive coordinator prior to Williams' arrival, a couple years before, and then he left immediately to go to coach the Cardinals and had Kyler Murray. And Murray, you know, ran for his life quite a bit. I'm apprehensive about the air raid. I know you mentioned with Mark Potash earlier about, you know, he does run the ball, but I think the bigger issue is protecting the quarterback. And, you know, you keep sending five guys out in this game. You know, there's such a premium on pass rushers that this guy could be running for his life for the second straight year if you pick him as the top pick. And I mean, his plays were remarkable, but most of them were on broken plays. And, you know, you give him time in the pocket, he's going to look good. Now, the Irish did a good job against him right off the bat, and he did panic a couple times, looked bad. kudos to the Irish. But this guy was remarkable. And I just think, you know, with Kingsbury, I would hope that if he's the guy, that there's a little more commitment to protecting this guy. Because, you know, NFL, it's a little different than college, especially with the pass rushers.
From what you saw Kingsbury do when he went to Arizona, Kyler Murray, before that Patrick Mahomes, he also had Johnny Football. And there was certainly the opposite of robotic, which was a word Justin Fields used to describe the Bears' offensive approach. And so I want to ask, do you think, from what you know of Kingsbury, what you've seen him in the college and pro, and whatever his proximity to Caleb Williams is, do you think this could interview of the Bears' offensive coordinator that would be directed at, what if we kept Justin Fields and we traded the pick and we acquired a bunch of things to go around him? Could you make him Patrick Mahomes? Do you think that's a possibility? And could Cliff Kingsbury honestly say something close to yes?
I think it's possible. I like Fields a lot. And I think with a little more polish, I know people are maybe a little restless. I understand that. But I think there's more components there to make it work. And if you bring in Kingsbury, who gives you a little more of an interesting dimension there, it could work. But, you know, going back to, okay, what's your master plan? You know, what do you plan to get out of talking to him? What's your real motive? Is it because you're all in on Williams, or do you really think that, you know, Fields can be salvageable and add more inventory in areas of need? I think got to be a little more concise with that if I'm the Bears. So I do think it could work with Fields, but I think the more the X factor is Williams and how he'd fit in an NFL system, which is very calling the plays.
Do you think the Bears interviewed him just so they could see that home that he was pictured in during the COVID draft? Because that's a spectacular. Where does that rank? Your knowledge of Arizona real estate, where does that Kingsbury estate, that resort, rank?
All I know is that I was told by a friend a couple weeks ago that Michael Phelps lives virtually across the street from him. So what a neighborhood.
Yeah, nice neighborhood. That'll work. Wow. Okay.
Yeah, but I will say, based on my few strolls through that neighborhood, dime a dozen. There's a lot of houses like that. It's scary to think that, but I've seen a few with a, you know, spectacular background and backyard like that. I mean, I've been in a few of those, and it's you kind of pinch yourself. Like, hey, what am I doing here?
Did you steal anything from these homes, Gonzo?
No.
Silverware, no. Candlesticks, anything you could melt down and...
No. One thing you learn about Phoenix, even our new digs, is security is always important.
All right. Okay. Whatever. That's your story, and you're sticking to it.
That's also a warning to you in case you're in my neighborhood.
There you go. Gonzo, thanks for your time. It's nice to talk to you again. Great to hear your voice. Thanks for your thoughts.
Always take care.
All right. It's Mark Gonzalez, former baseball writer for the Tribune, former Hall of Fame voter. Sent back the ballot. Did it the right way. Had good reasons, and it wasn't what he was used to as far as the voting membership. I don't know where it goes, but somebody's going to get into the Hall of Fame with the way they're handing out cards or not. That's what's going to go on, and those will be announced on Tuesday. We'll take a break, and when we come back, some of you people out there, you got to get your Jerry Krause crap straight. I'm Steve Rosenblum with Saturday Suckage, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
I'm Rhett.
And I'm Link.
And we're the hosts of the podcast Ear Biscuits. We're just two lifelong friends who've been talking about life for a long time.
From being dads to businessmen to all the random things we experience, nothing is off limits.
And now we're talking to you. We're answering your questions, giving advice that you may or may not want to take, and listening to your hilarious stories.
So leave us a voicemail to be part of the show at
1-888-EARPOD1 on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's Saturday Suckage on 670 The Score in Odyssey Station.
Indeed, Saturday Suckage, and I'm Steve Rosenblum on The Score.
And I apologize. What is your name? I don't know who you are, the host.
That's Philly Jane. Philly Jane called last week while we were discussing the embarrassing Bulls fans, booing the corpse and making Jerry Krause's widow cry right there and close up on camera right there at center court. The Ring of Honor that became the embarrassment and nationwide. And she's calling from Philly, having no idea what show she's calling or the host's name.
And I apologize. What is your name? I don't know who you are, the host.
It's Steve Rosenblum, and this is Saturday Suckage. So you're perfect for that, Jane. And she made the point, she didn't want the Philly fans' name taken in vain. She made the distinction, we booed Santa Claus, yes, but we would never boo Mrs. Claus. That was her point. So I want to follow up on something. I want to correct something from all of this fallout last week when the Bulls fans were booing a corpse. The widow cried, and Bulls fans were taught by Yoko Jackson and Michael Jordan. And it was said, it was repeated, it was written, whatever it was. A Krause quote, and I have no idea if you saw this, Robbie, since you only came to Jerry Krause because of Last Dance, right?
Yeah, correct. That's all I know about Jerry Krause.
Do you know... And I know you know it from the Bernstein Family podcast, Organizations Win Championships. So do you know Jerry Krause from that?
No, not as much.
Okay. It came out this week again. It got wrongly written that Jerry Krause said players don't win championships, organizations do. And then that went to Jordan, and that went to Jackson, that went to Pippen, and that was wrong. Because that's not what Jerry Krause said. If you heard that this week, if you saw that this week, if you ever hear it again, that's wrong. And Mike Nadell, the Associated Press writer who had the quote and missed on the quote, wrote a correction. Because here's what's missing. Jerry Krause said, players alone don't win championships. Organizations do. And while he was trying to make it a point, the inclusiveness, how it all has to come together, there were Yoko Jackson and Michael Jordan targeting him because they heard something wrong. They were told the wrong thing. And we're 25 years past that. Everybody should know that. He said the word, and alone means a lot. It makes a big difference when you're talking about that. Everybody should know that. I was mentioning Yoko Jackson and people who broke up the Bulls. And one of the things you learned, Robbie, because you weren't there live, but there was Jordan calling him crumbs, right? Were you aware of that? Or?
Right, yeah, I was.
Right. For real or perceived donut crumbs on his rather porcine body.
They really did bully the man. It's terrible.
Well, it's a sort of a wonderful time to bring this up. Yesterday, Friday, January 19th, was the 24th anniversary of Jordan's starting to do Krause's job and face planting. I said last week, and I'll stand by it forever, Jerry Krause did his job as well as Michael Jordan did his. Jerry Krause did his job as well off the court as Michael Jordan did his on the court. When Michael Jordan, who always wanted to do Jerry Krause's job, see Walter Davis for details, And Michael Jordan didn't want to trade Charles Oakley, his enforcer, for Bill Cartwright, who was central to three championships. Then Michael Jordan tried to do Jerry Krause's job because yesterday was the anniversary, 24 years earlier, when he became part owner and president of basketball operations of the Wizards. The Wizards sucked, their owner sucked, and Jordan was seen as a hero, right? He was, I'm Michael Skywalker. I'm here to save you. Oops. So the Wizards post the worst record in franchise history in Jordan's first full season. Later, we all know, he came back. He came out of retirement. He returned as a player. And he returned to Chicago on, ta-da, this is an amazing thing, January 19th, 2002. That would conclude a doubleheader. Just Chicago embarrassment. Because Ground Jordan would lead the Wizards to a win over the Bulls in the afternoon. And then that night, the Bears would, well, Hugh Douglas would separate Jim from Miller, and the Bears would blow a home playoff game to the Eagles where your offensive hero was Ahmad Merritt. Remember that name, Robbie? You don't remember that?
No, not at all.
Yeah. How about Jerry Azuma?
No, right over my head.
Jerry Azuma had a touchdown that game. Anyways, they blew a home playoff game against the – that was the day Jordan came back.
I think I was seven.
Okay. You're allowed to watch TV then? Were you? No? Did your parents take TV till you
– No, they just put me in front of the SpongeBob. That was really it.
Were you a Squidward guy?
No, Squidward, no.
No? Okay. No. So Jordan coming back as a player was a platform for him to say, the best way to teach young players – is to be on the court with them. It's also the best way to ruin draft picks. Michael Jordan did his share of that. He ruined two guards that Jerry Krause would bring in. First of all, they were two guards. Second of all, Jerry Krause brought him in. Scooter McRae, see him for details. So the box office was a success with Jordan in uniform. The on-the-court product, not so much. Sellouts everywhere, losses everywhere. Two more losing seasons. Jordan retires for good. And he's expecting to head back to his executive role. And A. Paulin says, surprise, no. You're fired. Fired Michael Jordan. Now, Paulin's a guy who gave against Jordan, fought Jordan and didn't listen to Jordan when Jordan said, don't give Stackhouse that contract. So Jordan lost his job, Stackhouse got his money, and the Wizards sucked. And if that didn't show how hard Krause's job was and how well he did it when Jordan thought he could do it, look at what happened when Jordan went to the Hornets. He failed miserably again. And by the way, Yoko Jackson, who broke up the Bulls, see what he did in New York. See what he did to the Knicks. See how he tried to get Krause's job, and when the Knicks finally gave him that, what a flaming failure that was. Players and coaches alone don't win championships. Organizations do. The word alone. Remember that. So now it's a good thing I'm so smart to bring that to everyone's attention. Phone number 312-644-6767. And when we were talking with Gonzo, and I brought up the Konerko home run and moments when you're in a building. And I think what we're going to do, Robbie, next segment, we do production meeting on the air. We had talked about this before. You may not be able to feel it. I'm going to do my best to describe the greatest anthem ever for the 91 NHL All-Star Game in the stadium. And a texter had texted in about the moments where it shook. The big sound was overwhelming. Maybe you've had that moment at an arena. in a stadium. 312-644-6767. That'll get you to the phones. That'll get you to the text line. Steve Rosenblum, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
The windup and the pitch. Montero drives one in the air. Deep right field. It's got a chance. Grand slam. Grand slam, Miguel Montero. Cubs lead 7-3.
Wrigley Field is shaking right now after the blast of Montero. Unbelievable.
It's Saturday Suckage on 670 The Score in Odyssey Station.
That didn't suck. That was Hall of Famer Pat Hughes and Ron Coomer describing the Miguel Montero pinch grand slam in the 2016 playoffs. And oh my goodness. So we were talking with Gonzo earlier this hour, and I'd mentioned nobody wins a World Series here without Gonzo being on the beat. 2005 White Sox, he was there. Konerko's Grand Slam. And I thought, that is maybe the loudest outdoor moment I've been a part of. I was in Yankee Stadium for some of those moments. And the big sound of Yankee Stadium in October, that's a thing. That's a real thing. However, Comiskey, Guaranteed, Raindrop, whatever that field was, the Konerko Grand Slam off Chad Qualls was louder, more thunderous than Ponsednik.
Qualls is in. Konerko coming up with a bases loaded, two out. And he rips one in the left. Konerko, grand slam.
Bedlam in Chicago.
Paul Konerko with the single biggest swing of his career.
Yes, and that was a moment if you were in that. So we're talking, me and Gonzo were talking about that, and I brought it up because yesterday was the anniversary of the greatest anthem ever. It was a 1991 NHL All-Star Game, just days after Operation Desert Storm, the United States went into the Middle East and declared war on Iraq. There was even some question about whether that All-Star Game could be or should be played. Wayne Gretzky was going to be there, and he said, I don't know if it's, I don't want it to be disrespectful. And it was decided that this would be an opportunity to show support for U.S. troops so soon after this. And so, in the stadium, the long-lamented stadium, the greatest arena ever, the Thunderdome, the glass in the hockey rink was no more than 200 feet from the outside doors. So you knew that your head would explode. And the history of the anthem, people applauding during the anthem began in the 1985 playoffs, Hawks and Oilers. Hawks lost the first two games in Edmonton. First two games in Edmonton came home, and Wayne Messmer in the organ loft was about to sing the national anthem when all of a sudden, as the early strains of the organ played the national anthem, fans stood, cheered. That's how that tradition started. Nowhere was it greater than the 1991 All-Star Game. And here you go. January 19th, 1991. One of the greatest sports moments I have ever attended. Certainly the greatest anthem ever. Wayne Messmer, anthem before the 1991 All-Star Game in the stadium. Everybody was deaf for the first period. It was stunning. In fact, I counted 36 American flags. You didn't bring in anything. You're bringing signs, you're bringing sags, signs, flags, whatever you want. And I counted 36 American flags in the stadium. And to show you the impact of that, and you really had to feel it. Maybe I did a disservice by, I'm trying to describe it, and maybe I did a disservice by, you just had to be there. I should have forgotten about this, but it was so impactful. And it was such a sign of support that Norman Schwarzkopf, the general in charge of the U.S. troops in Operation Desert Storm, asked for a tape of that and played it for all the troops. It was as much a part of the early stages of the conflict as, I guess, getting bullets. That was spectacular. So I had mentioned that was the great moment. That was the Konerko home run. And 708 texter, Steve, I was at Game 7 against the Marlins when Kerry Wood hit the home run. You remember that? You remember that? Really? You were like 3 years old, weren't you, Robbie?
I got YouTube. YouTube caught me up.
That was the first time I felt Wrigley shake, the 708 texter goes on. Was always the loudest outdoor experience to me until I was lucky enough to be in the bleachers with my daughter and Montero hit the pinch grand slam, and I thought the stands would collapse. That's the loudest outdoor ever for me. Yeah, that was Gonzo mentioned that. We talked Konerko, we talked Miguel Montero. There's just so, when you have an effect like that, I was not in Seattle when Beast Mode scored, I think it was to put them into the Super Bowl. And it was so loud, because the new stadium there is cantilevered, or was new then. It was cantilevered. It registered on the Richter scale. I had been Kansas City, if you've ever been at Arrowhead, you can feel outdoor stadiums that make you feel something like that are really special. I've not been in whatever they're calling Seattle Field these days, but that registered on the Richter scale. That tells you what that must have been like with Beast Mode. So now we're having, this is Saturday Suckers. People who know, people who listen know. 312 texter now has decided, Robbie, that we are all request Saturday Suckage. You can't do Saturday Suckage without touching on the reporter that asked Todd Bowles in the press conference how the weather will impact his game plan in Detroit this weekend. You know, you're right. We have that all lined and loaded up. So as long as we're doing all request radio here, all request Suckage, here you go.
Coach, looking forward towards Detroit. The weather has been a factor in some of the playoff games, even for the most prepared teams today. It's 13 in Detroit, which doesn't compare to some of the temperatures the team has got to. Any special plans to acclimate the team to not only endure but perform in those kind of frigid temperatures should you face them in Detroit?
You do know we play indoors, right? And they got a dome.
We play indoors.
No, nothing planned. We're indoors and we only have to be outside for 20 seconds getting off the bus, going under the thing, so we'll be okay.
You know what's interesting? Reading the response, reading the repost, the quote reposted by Marshall Harris, who is a score, has become a score regular here, right? And he made the significant, the salient point is when you start cutting sports departments and you send news people out because you diss the sports coverage, and you get news people asking questions that are out and out embarrassing. Now, Todd Bowles handled it wonderfully well. Well, it's indoors. Yes. So I thought his point was perfect. And this is a week where you get that. You get, wow, we're just going to, TV Stevens is going to send it. We're going to send a news person out. They can do a sports job. Yeah. Okay. And the week that Sports Illustrated gets folded. yanked. Bye-bye. So anyways, that's that. We will get back to your calls and texts. Oh, my God, 309 says, Ahmad Merritt is coaching wide receivers at Lake Forest High School and killing it in pickup hoops. I love that. All right, take a break. We come back. NFL playoffs, a whole weekend, the divisional weekend, maybe the best football weekend of the year. And we'll talk to Hub Arkush how he sees it. I'm Steve Rosenblum, Saturday Sucker, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
I'm Rhett.
And I'm Link.
And we're the hosts of the podcast Ear Biscuits. We're just two lifelong friends who've been talking about life for a long time.
From being dads to businessmen to all the random things we experience, nothing is off limits.
And now we're talking to you. We're answering your questions, giving advice that you may or may not want to take, and listening to your hilarious stories.
So leave us a voicemail to be part of the show at
1-888-EARPOD1 on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
The windup and the pitch. Montero drives one in the air. Deep right field. It's got a chance. Grand slam. Grand slam. Miguel Montero.
It's Saturday Suckage on 670 The Score in Odyssey Station.
That didn't suck. That was Hall of Famer Pat Hughes and Ron Coomer describing the Miguel Montero pinch grand slam in the 2016 playoffs. And oh my goodness. So we were talking with Gonzo earlier this hour, and I'd mentioned nobody wins a World Series here without Gonzo being on the beat. 2005 White Sox, he was there. Konerko's Grand Slam. And I thought, that is maybe the loudest outdoor moment I've been a part of. I was in Yankee Stadium for some of those moments. And the big sound of Yankee Stadium in October, that's a thing. That's a real thing. However, Comiskey guaranteed raindrop, whatever that field was, the Konerko Grand Slam off Chad Qualls was louder, more thunderous than Ponsednik.
Qualls is in. Konerko coming up with a bases loaded, two out. And he rips one in the left. Konerko, grand slam.
Bedlam in Chicago.
Paul Konerko with the single biggest swing of his career.
Yes, and that was a moment, if you were in that. So we're talking, me and Gonzo were talking about that, and I brought it up because yesterday was the anniversary of the greatest anthem ever. It was a 1991 NHL All-Star Game, just days after Operation Desert Storm. The United States went into the Middle East and declared war on Iraq. There was even some question about whether that All-Star Game could be or should be played. Wayne Gretzky was going to be there, and he said, I don't know if it's, I don't want it to be disrespectful. And it was decided that this would be an opportunity to show support for U.S. troops so soon after this. And so, in the stadium, the long-lamented stadium, the greatest arena ever, the Thunderdome, the glass in the hockey rink was no more than 200 feet from the outside doors. So you knew that your head would explode. And the history of the anthem, people applauding during the anthem began in the 1985 playoffs, Hawks and Oilers. Hawks lost the first two games in Edmonton. First two games in Edmonton, came home, and Wayne Messmer, in the organ loft, was about to sing the national anthem when all of a sudden, as the early strains of the organ played the national anthem, fans stood, cheered. That's how that tradition started. Nowhere was it greater than the 1991 All-Star Game. And here you go. January 19th, 1991. One of the greatest sports moments I have ever attended. Certainly the greatest anthem ever. Wayne Messmer, anthem before the 1991 All-Star Game in the stadium. Everybody was deaf for the first period. It was stunning. In fact, I counted 36 American flags. You can bring in anything. You bring in signs, you bring in sags, signs, flags, whatever you want. And I counted 36 American flags in the stadium. And to show you the impact of that, and you really had to feel it, maybe I did a disservice by, I'm trying to describe it, and maybe I did a disservice by, you just had to be there, I should have forgotten about this, but it was so impactful. And it was such a sign of support that Norman Schwarzkopf, the general in charge of the U.S. troops in Operation Desert Storm, asked for a tape of that and played it for all the troops. It was as much a part of the early stages of the conflict as I guess getting bullets. That was spectacular. So I had mentioned that was the great moment. That was the Konerko home run. And 708 texter, Steve, I was at game 7 against the Marlins when Kerry Wood hit the home run. You remember that? You remember that? Really? You were like 3 years old, weren't you, Robbie?
I got YouTube. YouTube caught me up.
That was the first time I felt Wrigley shake, the 708 texter goes on. Was always the loudest outdoor experience to me until I was lucky enough to be in the bleachers with my daughter and Montero hit the pinch grand slam, and I thought the stands would collapse. That's the loudest outdoor ever for me. Yeah, that was Gonzo mentioned that. We talked Konerko, we talked Miguel Montero. There's just so, when you have an effect like that, I was not in Seattle when Beast Mode scored, I think it was to put them into the Super Bowl. And it was so loud because the new stadium there is cantilevered, or was new then. It was cantilevered. It registered on the Richter scale. I had been Kansas City. If you've ever been at Arrowhead, you can feel outdoor stadiums that make you feel something like that are really special. I've not been in whatever they're calling Seattle Field these days, but that registered on the Richter scale. That tells you what that must have been like with beast mode. So now we're having, this is Saturday Suckers. People who know, people who listen know. 312 Texter now has decided, Robbie, that we are all request Saturday Suckage. You can't do Saturday Suckage without touching on the reporter that asked Todd Bowles in the press conference how the weather will impact his game plan in Detroit this weekend. You know, you're right. We have that all lined and loaded up. So as long as we're doing all request radio here, all request Suckage, here you go.
Coach, looking forward towards Detroit. The weather has been a factor in some of the playoff games, even for the most prepared teams. Today, it's 13 in Detroit, which doesn't compare to some of the temperatures the team has got to. Any special plans to acclimate the team to not only endure but perform in those kind of frigid temperatures should you face them in Detroit?
You do know we play indoors, right? And they got a dome.
We play indoors.
No, nothing planned. We're indoors, and we only have to be outside for 20 seconds getting off the bus, going under the thing, so we'll be okay.
You know what's interesting? Reading the response, reading the reposted, the quote reposted by Marshall Harris, who is a scorer, has become a scorer regular here, right? And he made the significant, the salient point is when you start cutting sports departments and you send news people out because you diss the sports coverage and you get news people asking questions that are out and out embarrassing. Now, Todd Bowles handled it wonderfully well. Well, it's indoors. Yes. So I thought his point was perfect. And this is a week where you get that. You get, we're just going to, TV Stevens is going to send it. We're going to send a news person out. They can do a sports job. Yeah, okay. And the week that Sports Illustrated gets fold, yanked, bye-bye. So anyways, that's that. We will get back to your calls and texts. Oh, my God, 309 says, Ahmad Merritt is coaching wide receivers at Lake Forest High School and killing it in pickup hoops. I love that. All right, take a break. We come back. NFL playoffs, a whole weekend, the divisional weekend, maybe the best football weekend of the year. And we'll talk to Hub Arkish how he sees it. I'm Steve Rosenblum, Saturday Suckage, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
I'm Rhett.
And I'm Link.
And we're the hosts of the podcast Ear Biscuits. We're just two lifelong friends who've been talking about life for a long time.
From being dads to businessmen to all the random things we experience, nothing is off limits.
And now we're talking to you. We're answering your questions, giving advice that you may or may not want to take, and listening to your hilarious stories.
So leave us a voicemail to be part of the show at
1-888-EAR-POD-1 on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.